Eric Schmidt joined Sun Microsystems in 1983 after earning his doctorate in computer science at UC Berkeley. 11 years later, he was Sun's chief technology officer. During his tenure at Sun, Schmidt helped the company reposition itself to take advantage of the internet and was instrumental in developing the now well-known programming language, Java. In 1997, Novell was struggling to redefine its business for the internet age, just as Sun had done years earlier, and tapped Schmidt to become its new CEO. Schmidt was ready to take on the challenge of refocusing Novell, but the turnaround is far from over. In 2000, Novell reported third quarter sales and profits down 83% from 1999. When we spoke to Eric Schmidt, he was 2.5 years into the job. We talked about the new Novell and Schmidt's philosophy on effecting change within a large corporation. Eric Schmidt, welcome.
Well, thank you.
You, about 2.5 years ago, in the spring of 1997, did something that surprised the technology world, which is you left a job that Scott McNeely described as it had to be the best job on the planet, as chief technology officer of Sun Micro. And here you are, CEO of Novell. Now, 2.5 years ago, Novell looked very different, which it was clearly a troubled company, and you had an opportunity to do a turnaround, and it really articulated the objective that time to create something that was a network and internet-centric company. Where are you now?
Well, we're busy going through that transformation. We ended up having to do a hardcore turnaround, which has been well documented, and that's now behind us. And now what we're trying to do is to take the technologies that Novell pioneered and put them on the internet for general use, for use of more than just our traditional customer base. You know, the internet changes everything in lots and lots of different ways, and we think there's an opportunity, perhaps a once-in-a-lifetime opportunity, to get the services that people need on the internet right.
Now, Novell came from a background, still is very much making plenty of its revenues out of connecting corporate computers to corporate networks, and then you've come in and brought this extra level of connection, which is to the internet itself. How much has that changed the kind of networking software that Novell makes and thinks about?
Well, in each of the technology areas that we have a leadership position in, we have an internet component, and we are busy taking those technologies and putting them in the internet as well as within the company. Novell invented the local area network and drove the adoption of LANs. So we're busy now stitching all those LANs together into things which are called intranets, and now we're busy taking the intranets and linking them between businesses through the public internet. The problem in the internet today is, while it's lots of fun, you know, you can find your friends and you can go look at forbidden content and things like that, it's very difficult.
Not on corporate time.
Very difficult to actually do real business transactions because you don't know who you're dealing with, you don't have a strong notion of security, and if people are going to literally treat the internet as a place where they live and work, it has to become much more scalable and much more reliable. It's very quirky today in ways that make no sense to a normal person. And we need to fix those things very quickly.
What do you mean by quirky?
Well, as an example, did you know that when you visit websites, they record all sorts of information about you? Did you know that it's easy to take someone's website and steal the name? Did you know that it's easy to use technology to cut into your network from the public internet unless you have what are called firewalls? All of these assumptions that we make as users of the net are in fact not really true. We have a notion of privacy, doesn't really exist. We have a notion of identity, doesn't really exist. And in many cases, for most people, the internet experience is a worldwide wait, where they're waiting for performance on the net. And we now know how to solve all this problem.
So it's literally bringing speed, reliability, security, potentially privacy, hacker-proof solutions, all of the above, to make the internet ready for business.
And that's correct. And if you look at the numbers, IDC is a well-known industry analyst firm, and they estimate that in the year 2002, we'll have $1.3 trillion of revenue on and about the internet and commerce. Now, even more interesting is they project that people will spend $1.4 trillion doing it. So we're going to continue to lose money as we build out this infrastructure. So it's nice to know the current model continues. But the important point is that with that kind of money being spent, people are going to want a reliable infrastructure.
What is it that attracted you to leave the best job on the planet to go do this?
Well, in my case, Sun's a wonderful company, and I had worked there for 14 years, and I had done pretty much everything that I was interested in doing at Sun. I had worked on the Java technology and was working on networking areas, and then, of course, this networking opportunity came up in the largest and most successful networking company in the industry. I also believe that it's time for the kind of services that Novell pioneered, it's time for them to take center stage. And Novell was the right place to do that.
You have been quoted describing the environment in which Novell and other high-tech leading firms are playing, this world of Silicon Valley and its environs, as having become increasingly mercantile. And you compared it recently to the kind of corrosive effects of this kind of mercantile attitude toward work that we saw essentially hollow out Wall Street in some rather significant ways in the late 80s. What do you do about that as a CEO and a leader?
Well, first place, as a company that's not one of the early stage internet companies, you have to have reasons that people want to work for you other than wealth creation. It turns out there are many people who are not primarily motivated by money, but more by the specific accomplishments that they can achieve in a company like Novell, and those are the kinds of people who we've been able to attract. Another comment is that this phenomena is highly localized. It's particularly bad in the San Francisco Bay Area and somewhat a problem in Boston, somewhat a problem in the D.C. area. So it's important for larger companies to have operations outside of those major centers because of literally employee retention. From my perspective, the problem with the current churn, as we call it in people, is that there's a loss of institutional memory. And it seems like it's now well outside of the norms that should exist for creation. And I'm assuming that over the next few years, as the reality of the opportunity in front of people on the internet becomes clear, it will adjust in some more reasonable way.
When we think about the evolution of this world, a lot of people are talking about something that, for lack of a better term, is called the post-PC future. You're in the business, in a sense, of connecting devices, so I assume you're relatively agnostic as to whether that device is a PC or some other interface device between a user and a network.
Well, just to be clear, we're not agnostic over the question that you should have a choice. We believe very strongly that you don't have much of a choice today and that you need more choices. And we benefit to the degree that there's lots of different kinds of client choices for people to use. My company's charter is to build powerful infrastructure that connects the myriad of devices that we think people will run. I mean, one simple estimate says that between the years 2000 and 2010, you're going to have five IP addressable devices on your body. Right? You're going to have an IP addressable watch, an IP addressable digital phone, an IP addressable pager, and probably a shoe phone, and so forth and so on. So the proliferation of IP addresses and the kinds of things that you can do with dedicated devices should usher in an enormous set of new platforms if the services are available for those platforms to consume.
What happens to the PC in an environment like that?
Well, the PC as it stands today is doing quite well. Most people, however, are limiting some of the gross flexibility of the PC for cost reasons. Most companies now have standard desktops that they allow people to bring in. Mm-hmm. And they manage to avoid the cost explosion that occurs with people doing weird things to their personal computers in their offices. So they use software. Novell happens to sell software to do this, but others do as well. They distribute software centrally. So the PC looks much more like a piece of the network than just whatever I've cobbled together at home and brought into the office as it was 15 years ago. So the PC does very well, but it becomes much more of a client portal into network services. And it becomes one of the choices, but not the only one.
It sounds very much as if what you're saying is that Novell, in some ways, is enabling that phrase that Sun is famous for, the phrase that said the network is the computer, and mapped onto this notion of an ultra-thin client called a network computer, where much of the intelligence, not all of it, lived in the network. And as long as you had secure pipes going out there, there were significant advantages to that, one of them being cost.
Well, I'm proud of my involvement in those activities at Sun, and there's no question that Sun saw this earlier than anyone else. It's also clear now that it is the dominant story of network computing. Mm-hmm. And people want the ability to go to any kind of device and do things. A good example is that, from a customer perspective, one-click ordering, invented by Amazon and used by many now, is in fact the defining application. Well, when people do one-click ordering, they don't say, what computer did I do that from? Or what computer was I talking with? Or what kind of telephone switch was it connected to? From their perspective, they clicked, they got their product. That's the model that we have been searching for such a long time. To me, the definition of this new model is think of it as a one-click infrastructure. Mm. The infrastructure that allows you to go from machine to machine, to go to services, and get what you want literally with one click, where we know who you are.